All right, we're looking at our study in Believer's Authority, and probably we'll finish this study this evening. But there's some things I want us to look at and count down a little bit. We're on page five, I'm sorry. And I'm going to pick up with letter E. We've talked about how Satan has already been defeated by Jesus. Not something that will occur. It's something that's already occurred, and he's already been sentenced. But just like in a like the natural courts of the land, they can bring a person in and sentence the person, yet the person not receive the punishment of that sentence for a period of time. For instance, many people die on death row before ever being executed. They're sentenced to death, but it hasn't occurred. Satan is sentenced to the lake of fire, but that has not yet occurred. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's already a settled thing. It's not if Jesus wins the battle. Jesus has already won the battle. And it's already documented. The sentence is documented. It's just waiting to be executed. So while it's waiting to be executed, Satan is still at liberty to use his deception and intimidating tactics and all against the believers. That's why it's so important that we learn our authority and that we get confidence in that and then execute that authority with confidence. If you don't have confidence, then you're going to meet some opposition. It's just like a police officer. He goes out to make an arrest. He has the authority to make the arrest, okay? But now, if he's timid and shy, he could find some resistance. You understand? Even if he's not, he could find some resistance, okay? But you don't go in and say, "Would you please come with me?" In other words, they'll knock on your door and say, "I have a warrant for your arrest. Come with me." Then if you don't, then that authority is backed by power. But you have to know your authority, you have to operate in the parameters of your authority, and you have to believe in the power backing that authority. You can't abuse power. I mean, he can't just go up and if somebody says, "I'm not going," say, "Well, I'm just going to shoot you." And a lot of people have a misunderstanding of how this thing works with the devil. You know, in Jude, it tells us about Satan contending with Michael over the body of Satan, trying to get the body. And Gabriel didn't call him Michael didn't call him all kinds of names and didn't tell him all types of stuff. He simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." And we have to learn we do not have authority to get out over here saying all these things that the Lord hasn't told us to say. We must stay in the parameters of the Scriptures to where, like Jesus in the wilderness, he always used what was written against Satan. And he did that confidently because he knew what was written. So it's extremely important that we know what's written, because that's how you're going to learn and understand your authority and how authority operates. You with me? And all this is in the Scriptures. That's why reading the Bible is really not optional. It's mandatory if you're going to walk the way the Lord wants you to walk in earth. But when the believer learns his authority and takes his rightful stand or position in his authority against Satan's attack, then Satan must submit to the authority. Just like with Michael, he didn't have a choice. He had to release the body. You understand? He doesn't have a choice. But now, Michael is not operating flippantly and assuming. And we as believers are on assignment. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told through the Scriptures that Jesus did not operate independently of His Father. He did what He saw. He made His decisions by what He heard. Never did He operate independently, so He stayed under authority. And the only way our authority as the believer is going to work is if we stay under authority. The success of our authority is dependent upon our submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Word of God. All right? According to Hebrews 1:14, the angels are sent to minister for those who will be heirs or inheritors of salvation. I want you to look at this, Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, this scripture's been misconstrued some, to the point that people are teaching that you command angels to do this, this, or this. Well, I'm going to tell you, you do not have the authority to command the angels. As a matter of fact, the Lord told Moses, when Moses asked the Lord to go up with him, taking the children of Israel in their journey, go up with him, the Lord said, I'm not going to go in among that bunch of stiff-necked, hard-headed, stubborn people, my paraphrase. He said, if I get in your midst like that, I'd consume you. But I will send my angel. Don't provoke him. You with me? He didn't say, tell him what you want him to do. Follow him. Follow his lead. And so we're to be led by the Spirit. We're to follow God's lead. Not to go out here and start acting like we can do anything we want to do and get results. It doesn't work that way. In Psalm 103, excuse me, in verse 20, it tells us, this is concerning the angels. It says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His commandment, note this, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Angels don't hearken to my word or your word. They hearken unto God's word. They listen. They pay attention to God. That's why it's so important that we speak in agreement with the word of God. If we're speaking the word of God, then the angels listen to the word of God. You understand? Pete has no clout in the spirit world. Jesus does. The Word of God does. That's why it's vital that we stay in the parameters of the Word when we're operating in that believer's authority. Now, we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy, we have authority. But don't take that just flippantly. Well, I have authority. I'll just do what I want to do. No, the devil's going, listen to me, everything I say. No, he's not. He's going to listen when you're under authority. And don't think he won't oppose that. That's why you'd better be confident in the authority that you have and stand in that authority, because Satan is the most formidable opponent you'll ever see. He doesn't quit. He just keeps on and on and on and on. That's why he tells us in James 4:7 to submit to God. That's the only possible way to resist the devil. Is stay under authority. You can't serve two masters. Right? So if you're under the authority of the Word, that's the Master is the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who you're going to be listening to, that's who you're going to be obeying. But if you're not staying under the authority of the Word by default, you're going to come under Satan's authority, because here's how he operates. He operates through the flesh. So he will tempt you, deceive you, entice you, however you want to say it, to get you in agreement with him so he can use your authority against you. And a lot of people work against themselves with their own mouth. They speak against themselves. And then wonder why this is happening and that's happening. God said in Malachi, I believe, your words have been stout, strong against me. You're speaking contrary to what I say. And a lot of people, when they start accusing God and getting mad at God and all these other things and blaming God for this, that, or the other, and talking about how bad they got it, murmuring, complaining, you know, all this type stuff, then your words are strong against the Lord. So you work against yourself. And you're negating the authority that He's given you. Just simply by the words coming out of your own mouth. By our words we're justified. By our words we're condemned. You see that? So, in just summarizing this, we'd say that the believer's authority, first off, is not to be confused with God-ordained authority. And this is an error that's going on. People think that they don't have to come under any authority. All believers are equal. Well, you are all equal with authority under, as far as over Satan. We all have authority as believers over Satan. But not everybody is in a position of authority in the church, in the body of Christ. There are different members of the body, and those members have different authorities in that position. For instance, oversight has the oversight. I mean, that should be pretty self-explanatory. Okay? And we have to learn that and submit to that, but the oversight is not a dictator. He's not a controller. He's not bossing people. What he's doing is overseeing a particular operation to make certain that it's doing what God's called it to do. Just to keep it on course with what God wants. Now, we have to do that to our own life. We have to oversee our own lives to keep our own lives on course. We bishop our own souls. We control our own thinking. And you understand that's not an option. You have to. If you don't control your thinking, it's going to control you in a way you don't want. Just this week, I won't just go into that. I'll just say, talk to me. How's that? And I got a message. And I sent back and just a brief statement. And then they said they wanted to talk to me. And so they started telling me this, this, this. I said, don't think about it. But I said, don't think about it. on. But don't think about it. We say, they made me mad. No, you thought about it. You thought about it. You thought on the negative and you got yourself worked up. Now, you know what's happening? That person is in control of you. You just gave them authority over you and they get you emotionally upset. And what's amazing is how difficult it is to get someone to move off of that thought. But I said it's your thinking. Your problem's your thinking. Your problem's not somebody. Your problem is your thinking. Do you think Jesus didn't have opposition? I mean, when you're nailed to a cross, looking at the people who's put you up there and say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, He's in control of His thought life. He didn't say, Father, get them. Father, kill them. And see, that's the way people are brought up. You know, we know the Scripture says, vengeance is mine, and I'll repay, says the Lord. But we want to say, you know, vengeance is mine, and I will get you back. And what you did was you just gave your enemy the right to use your authority against you. And people don't even realize what they're doing. Every authority is limited to certain parameters, and we have to understand that. And the parameter is set by the one who gave you the authority. Who gives you the authority over the devil? The name of Jesus, right? All right, so then what's our parameters over the devil? We're going to have to study the ministry of Jesus. We're going to have to look at the Word of God. And we're going to have to stay in those parameters. I think I told you at the beginning of this teaching about a situation, but we're casting the devil out of a person. You do not have the right to tell the devil to go to hell. Now, I've heard it. He does not have to listen to you. You understand? Now you just stepped outside the perimeter of your authority. And because of that, your authority becomes ineffective. Your authority stops when you step out of the boundary. You understand? You can understand it naturally. If a football player steps out of bounds, he can run all he wants to. But it's not going to do him a lick of good, is it? No, he just wears himself out. We have to stay in the boundaries of the Word of God. The manner in which a believer approaches opposition or adversity and the word spoken against that opposition or adversity must agree with the Word of God. It must agree with the ministry of Jesus. If it doesn't, Satan's not going to obey you. He doesn't have to obey you. That's why I strongly encourage people to study, just read the Gospels. First off, study the life of Jesus, how He lived. Then study the ministry of Jesus, what He did. Man, that's pretty profound if you really get in and look at what Jesus did. He didn't heal everybody He met. He didn't cast the devil out of everybody He met. He did what He saw His Father do. He stayed in the boundaries. That's why He was so successful. He stayed in the boundaries. And if we're going to be successful for the Lord, we're going to have to stay under the Word, under the authority of the Word of God in order for our authority to operate. It's directly related to the authority over us, isn't it? You know, the power of God enforces the authority when it's used properly. But God is under no obligation to back me when I'm out of His will. And that will being, obviously, the Word of God. Right? And what the Spirit of God's teaching you. Okay? So, we have right and privilege to minister in the name of Jesus. But we must do it in the way Jesus did it. Acts 1, former treatise ever made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. He began it. Now follow the pattern. We are to do and teach what Jesus did and taught. And in order to know that, I'm going to have to study His ministry. Right? And I have to learn that not all believers are set in the same positions of authority. I've been going back and looking at some things, and He gave some, whether you're looking at gifts, what we commonly call gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit, to some He gave. If you look in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, dealing with what we commonly call fivefold ministry, to some He gave some apostles, prophets, not all. Everybody's not an apostle. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody doesn't operate with a particular gift, the same gift. He says, dividing to everyone severally, individually, as he wills. You understand? I don't go tell God, and I'm going to operate in this, so you back me. You know, what He has set you apart, what He's anointed you to do, is back, as long as you do it in agreement with the Scriptures. You with me? And so we have to get these things in perspective. And we have to also understand that our authority, the believer's authority, is over the devil, not over other people. This is a major problem in the church, people trying to lord over people in the church. And basically, any church, any denomination you go into, they have these cliques. This one over here and this one over here, they go into the same church and go in there, and this one hates that one and that one hates that one. They can't stand one another. And yet they're going to stand up and talk about how they love God. How do you love God if you can't love the people you see? How are you going to love a God you can't see? And if you don't, you've negated your authority. We have to get it right inside in order for it to operate outside. Okay? Our hearts have to be right with God. Now, according to Luke 19, the believers have authority over the power of the enemy. Authority over the power. That would be the correct translation. Authority over the power of the enemy. But until we exercise our authority, Satan will continue to dominate. Do you think that Satan doesn't know that the body of Christ has power over him? He knows our authority over him. He knows that. So, how can he stop that authority from being effective against him? By using it against you. By deceiving you into thinking it won't work today. Or that it won't work with you. That's only for people with special anointings. And consequently, he wreaks havoc among the church and just destroys people's lives because the body of Christ has not risen up and taken their legal place. Last week, the Lord really opened something up to me on contending for the faith. And I told you, somewhere along the line, you're going to be hearing about it. It's still incubating. Okay? But I know this, that what I know right now, that Satan tries to wear your flesh out. Try to get you so worn out that you're ready to give up. I've seen it. I've seen it in the natural. You'll see it in combat. You see it in athletic events. You just wear down your opponent. Wear him down. Then run over him. And this is what has happened over the many years since the birth of the church in the book of Acts. Satan has been so persistent, wearing down, attacking. And the body of Christ, instead of uniting together, scattered. And today the mentality is, let's go in our little corner and protect ourselves. Well, what about all the other people that are wounded that can't help themselves? This is where we as a body must work together and go against Satan as a force. You understand? Do you believe the scripture when it says any two agree on earth? They have. Right? But see, you don't know the heart. You don't know if there's any wavering. You with me? See, the word's true. There's variables out there. There's things that we can't see. There's things that we can't explain. And instead of questioning God, what we need to do is get into a more intimate relationship with the Lord, to where we're just in tune to the Spirit of God. Now, this is the key, and I'm crying out to God in this area. I want to be more in tune, to see you, to hear you, to where I never operate independently. Because if I operate independently of God, am I going to be successful? And I'll speak for me, but probably for you too, that I've had too much defeat in my life. You understand? And it's not God's fault. And we want to blame it on God. No, I have to take responsibility. And then I have to understand what's victory and what's defeat. Because we think differently than God thinks. Have you noticed that? Would you call the cross, that where a man is brutally beaten and crucified and dies, would you call that victory? The flesh does not see that as a victory. But yet God saw that as the means of defeating sin. And did. So then that resurrection was a victory. But it took the cross to get a resurrection. You can't have a resurrection without a death. Right? And so we have to submit ourselves to God and trust the Father, and let Him guide us by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. And then act accordingly and exercise authority accordingly. And our tendency is to put a private interpretation to what God tells us. The Lord speaks something to you, and you think it's supposed to happen the way you think it's supposed to happen. He didn't tell you how it was going to happen. He just spoke a truth to you. And then we let our imagination take off. And what happens? We're not successful with authority, are we? But if we stay under Him, under His auspices, doing what He tells us, then our authority is successful. Now, you have to believe you have authority. Exercising authority requires faith that you have authority. If you don't believe you have authority, authority won't work. But you have to have confidence in that. That's why a lot of people misunderstand ministers when they're ministering to somebody. You can think it's that they're being overconfident or overbearing or whatever. But if you know God said something to you, then you have, with that word, came faith. So you need to be confident in what you heard. See, Abraham was strong in what he heard. It didn't say he had great faith. It said he was strong in what he believed. He heard a word, and he wouldn't move off of that word. Consequently, he had confidence. What would happen to you if the Lord would just say to you, I want you to change your name, to where it means this, when it's in defiance of how you're living? Father of multitudes, and you're childless. Would you do it? Now we'll know how strong we are in what we believe. Strong enough to move on what we don't see. That's when your authority works. You don't see it, but yet you believe it because God said it. This is where we have to develop. Number one, we have to develop hearing to where we're not presuming. And then when we hear, we move with the confidence. You with me? Hear first, and then go with what God has said. Satan's defeated. Satan's sentenced. He's waiting for punishment. So he's going to do everything he can to do all the damage he can before that punishment takes place. In the Revelation it talks about how there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and Michael prevailed, and the dragon and his angels is cast down to the earth, and it says, woe to the inhabitants of earth. He knows he has a short time. So what's he doing? He's doing everything in his power to take people out. You understand? If you don't want to have the punishment executed against you, then take out everybody. Right? Take them out. And so that's what he's trying to do. And that's where we've got to become one with Jesus. We must unite together and become one with Jesus in thought. Let this mind be in you. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In other words, get our thinking out of the natural arena and get our thinking into the spiritual arena. Then when we're thinking like God, we'll talk like God and act like God. But as long as we're thinking naturally, we talk naturally, and we act naturally. And that's why the church has been so unsuccessful. Because it's not realizing we're spiritual. We're spiritual. We're spirit beings. You understand? We are spirit beings. We are eternal beings. And we've got to learn to act that way. Instead of just thinking all these limitations and putting ceilings on us to where of what we can't do. I can't. I can't. I can't. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ. What it says is, I'm trying to do it naturally, then you can't. But in Christ, you can do what He's called you to do. Are you with me? And that's why you have to step over. That's why Pat's here. He can do because he's not going to let the natural hold him back. We can stand here and teach tonight because I'm not thinking naturally. You understand? Well, it applies to every one of us. If we'll think spiritually, then the natural won't wear us out. But if we think naturally, it'll beat you up. That's how Satan works, naturally. Even though he's a spirit being, he's going to attack you in a carnal way. That's how he's successful. So we've got to counterattack in a spiritual way. The Lord rebuke you. It is written. That's our authority. Amen. Well, time's up. I'm going to have to stop here.